And now we're going to hear the story as it's told in the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from Luke chapter 1, from verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you, Lou. So the term angel, it literally means a messenger. And it is, as we've just heard at that one particular part of the story, it's a very prominent role that the angels play in the Christmas story. And the fact, I would suggest, that angels are used in this way actually gives even more importance to the message. The calibre of the messenger actually gives it more weight. Peter, writing in the book 2 Peter in the first chapter, he wrote this. He said, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the dawn day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts." Now, because we have all these parts of the Christmas story which have angels in, it's not surprising that angels feature very prominently in all the sort of the decorations and bits and pieces that we use over Christmas. However, unsurprisingly, and contrary to the depiction of perhaps a gentle, feminine, perhaps creature which might sit on top of our Christmas trees or be on our Christmas cards and hovering over the nativity scenes, the Bible actually describes angels as persons of tremendous strength. And indeed, if we look at Psalm 103, it refers to angels as mighty ones. Mighty ones who do God's bidding. And if you go back into the Old Testament, and particularly to 2 Kings, there is a tale there where one single angel, in the process of one single night, kills 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That's a little bit scary. That's a little bit terrifying, actually, I think. So what do we really mean by angels, and what perhaps do they look like? Well, perhaps they look like this, little cherubs, but then perhaps not. But of course, by cherub, we don't mean cherubims, as it's described in the scripture, because the cherubims are described as defenders of the throne of God, and they have a face of an angel, a face of an eagle, a lion, and an ox, and a man, all looking in different directions. Now, that is really scary. I don't think we're going to see one of those on our Christmas trees, on our Christmas cards. I think that would be a bit of a step too far. However, in the natural state, the Bible describes angels as spiritual beings. They don't actually have any physical or material bodies, no physical form as such. But that doesn't mean that they never have a form, because on several occasions the Bible describes them as having a physical body to be able to communicate with us. And indeed, in some places they are described as being dressed in white, gleaming like lightning, wearing clean shining linen with gold sashes across their chests, which is of course a very typical image that we perhaps see represented in art work of an angel. But most actually of the recorded messages or stories about angels are actually very ordinary. They're described as very ordinary people almost. And indeed so ordinary that we probably wouldn't even realise that we'd been visited by one. The book of Hebrews says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it." Now, personally, I'm not aware that I have ever seen an angel. I am, however, quite sure that I have been ministered at some stages to angels. And indeed, it's a phrase we often use to people who have helped us in some way. You say, "Oh, you angel, thank you so much." Was that just the person, or was that an angel? But I do know of people, and people who I do trust, who can relate their own tales of being able to have seen an angel in a particular circumstances. And indeed, I remember reading some time ago of a Christian band. I can't remember the name, but they were involved in a car crash. There were three people in the band, and the car crash was very serious. And they had to have, obviously, the police and the ambulance and whatever to come and help them. And they got them out of the car. They had to cut the car to pieces. And when they'd been taken out, the ambulance man said, "Where's the fourth person?" And the band said, "There's only three of us." And they said, no, there were four people in that car. "Where's the fourth person?" Mary. There's just some pictures of how Mary has been depicted in the media, in films and TV shows and things like that, particularly those on the right-hand side. But of course, on the left and on the right-hand side, the perhaps more traditional image that we see represented of Merge in her blue and her, I don't know what the hat bit's called, but covering her head. Very virginal, I suppose you would say. But she was a young girl. She was a young teenager. And in the scripture that we've just had read, these words were spoken by Luke. "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you.' Now, Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" I wonder how you would have reacted in that circumstance or in being approached by an angel like that, spoken to you by somebody presumably you don't know. Did the angel appear angelic in some way? I don't know. It doesn't particularly tell us. It tells us it was the angel Gabriel, but did he just appear as a man or in other descriptions that we have, all glowing or something? Don't know. That is not for us to know. That's not written in Scripture. And we might embellish Scripture in our artwork and what have you, but we don't know. However, the key thing is here is that message was so convincing that Mary accepts it as a message from God. And of course, her great words of "let it be so." So how about Joseph? Well, Joseph's encounter was a little bit different in that the angel came to him in a dream. Now, we don't know how old Joseph was. He was certainly older than Mary. And depending on which tradition you perhaps might want to follow, there are various suggestions of how old he was, ranging from an older teenager up to perhaps even an older widower. It was apparently common at that time for girls to be betrothed about the age of 16 and probably to a lad of about 18. So usually just a little bit older. But on the basis that he is described in Scripture as already having a trade, he was a carpenter, it's probably fair to say that he was, yes, certainly older than Mary, but he would have been at least a later teenager, possibly in his early 20s, to have already learned his craft, as it were. We have to go back into Matthew to read. That hasn't gone forward. Is it going to go? There it is. And in Matthew chapter 1, we read this: "Because Joseph was her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" And it must have been a very vivid dream, I think, and not one that certainly perhaps I have or you have, is that it just kind of fades away as you wake up, no matter how vivid it is to you or how real it seems to you as you come out of that sleep phase and start to wake up. But it was vivid enough to be remembered, and indeed Joseph of course acted upon it, because it changed his decision to not divorce Mary. And his actions were a big thing. Let's not make light of his part in the story. He took on a girl who was pregnant not by himself, and brought up the child as his own. The shepherds, various pictures there of the shepherds in the fields and the great host of angels, because of course the shepherd story is also different again. They don't just get a single angel, they get a whole host of angels singing "Glory in the highest," apparently. And what a sight, what a wonder that must have been. But again, we get these four words prefaced what the angel was going to tell them: "If do not be afraid." And I'm not surprised the angel had to say that, because I think, again, it was probably very scary, if amazing. Shepherds. Why shepherds? Not the grown-up and clever people of the land, not the special or the wealthy, the well-educated. possibly the least respected group of people you could possibly have in society. And yet these were the people who God tasked his angels to go to speak to give them the good news of the Christmas message that a baby was to be born, who was to be Christ the Saviour. So four very different stories. Zechariah, which Martin talked about to us last week, Mary, Joseph and the shepherds. And yet they all have these four stories, these four words in common. Do not be afraid. So what can we learn? I think I said right back at the beginning that we do live in these, quite frankly, unprecedented times. And it's sometimes difficult to sort of think, or we sometimes say, well, history repeats itself. But these are unprecedented times, with more people alive today, more ability to communicate around our world. The world seems to have grown smaller as a consequence. And we can hear news and events from all over the place. And it's very easy to get caught up in all these changes and the current activities that are going on, to be challenged by them, to be afraid and concerned, frightened by them. But it loses the focus. We can lose purpose if we dwell on them too much. And it's good to be reminded, I think, at this Christmas time that the Christmas message, or indeed the whole Christian message, is hope. It's salvation. It's grace. But we do need to remember that it is scary stuff. And perhaps we do need our own messenger to tell us to not be afraid. We've focused a lot in our Sunday teaching and in our house group series about sharing our faith. But what a wonderful opportunity Christmas is actually to do that, to turn aside from all the hype. Going around Cambridge yesterday, it wasn't even December yesterday, it's only the first today. All the decorations are up, all the Christmas trees are on display. Everybody's starting to do their Christmas shopping. All the hype is all there. How can we, within all that, bring our own personal message? Quite frankly, I can talk the talk. I can walk the walk, but I need to hear this message just exactly from the angels for to not be afraid. It scares me otherwise. I need to be real. I can't run away. If an aged priest can accept that he and his equally elderly wife are going to have a baby, if a betrothed man can change his mind, not set his pregnant fiancée aside, if a teenage girl can overcome her fear and give birth to a child conceived by no earthly means, if a bunch of uneducated, rough shepherds on the hillside can leave their sheep and travel down into the town to a stable to see a newborn baby, then I have to ask myself, what right have I to be afraid and not sing with the angels, whether I think I've seen an angel or not, and share the amazing news of Christmas, that behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just for us in church, but all people, everybody else out there. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Let's remember that message. Do not be afraid. We have a message to share. Christ is Lord.